present. Thank you, team. And I just hope that God will continue to just move in our midst right now. And I just want to welcome our online family. We're glad that you're with us. We're glad that you're joining us online. If you have anything you want to say, comment, let us know that you are there. I want to give you kind of a synopsis of where we're going to be in the scripture, and we are going to get to the events of today, meaning the events that deal with Palm Sunday. But you ever been with somebody that's fun? Oh, gosh, so three of you have a fun friend. Okay, that's a good thing, right? I mean, that's terrible. Anyway, I like to be around people that are fun. Maybe you have a friend that's kind of unexpected, meaning you're not really sure what to expect when you're around them. You have that kind of friend? Gosh, y'all have like no friends. Okay, are you friends with each other? Because I think you're all pretty cool. But anyway, I don't know. I like friends that like, I'm just not sure exactly what they might say or do. My wife says that's me. I say it's her, and so I don't know. But sometimes I'm pretty unexpected, and sometimes I say things that probably I should or what? Shouldn't say. Unfortunately, maybe, I think I'm at 50-50 right now. I used to be at like 80-20, now I'm at 50-50. Maybe in about a year I'll be at 51-49, you know, like things I should say over things I shouldn't say. But I don't know. People are just fun to be around. And when they're fun, they're even more fun to be around. When they're kind of the people that you're not sure what they're going to do, and they kind of keep you on the edge of their seat, they're even more fun to be around. Guess what, church? That was Jesus. You say, oh, that's not my Jesus. Let me just describe to you, right? The disciples, soon to be apostles in this scripture that we're going to be in today, they didn't really know what to expect. Jesus didn't print out on his HP printer an itinerary to say, today we're going to, now we expect that in the church, like just make a plan, okay? There should always be a plan, like, you know, let the Spirit work in our plan, right? But he didn't do that. He didn't give them a printout every morning and say, hey, here's the plan. In fact, I don't know about you, but I don't think often we put ourselves in the place of like the 70 people and the disciples that walked with Jesus day in and day out. They kind of got up and weren't sure where they were headed, what they were gonna do, what they were gonna encounter. And I feel like if you were a disciple, at times it was pretty exciting. Like, think about it. Some days you'd get up and he'd start healing people. Some days you'd get up, and let's be real, right? You would be a little surprised if your friends started healing somebody. And in that moment, they couldn't see and now they can see. Imagine this though. Imagine if your friend said, hey, in the power of the name of Jesus, rise up. We sang about it in first service, rise up. And all of a sudden the dead went from life. And then the next day, your friend, Jesus, right, is telling off some Pharisees that you didn't like anyway, right? That's nice, isn't it? Now, it doesn't really tell them off. We don't like to say it that way. But they would speak to him and he would correct them, right? Or they would speak to him and he would answer them with a question. Or they would speak to him and all of a sudden he'd be on the ground drawing a line and they would be dispersing. I would say Jesus was and is pretty fun to be around. Because if you just let him be him, if you just let his power move in you, the unexpected can be expected. The wanted can be had. The movement can be present. Healing can happen. Dead can come from dead to alive. I mean, come on now, the same Jesus that moved and walked is the same Jesus that we serve today. We have just put him in a box and said, since he's not walking actually on earth, he can't do what he used to do, yet he's walking and moving in us. And so that takes us to kind of this scripture, Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 31. If you want to turn there, and once you've got it, if you want to just stand for stretching sake and for honoring God's word, go for it. Let a yawn out, because we ain't yawning today outside of that. Okay, that's your last yawn. I said it, now you'll do it, right? I love this. And as Jesus passed, now those of you that know scripture well, you understand what Passover is. It's basically like Passover, meaning you were supposed to die in your sins, but because of Jesus' blood, you're going to be passed over. A symbol that was really a symbol from very, very long, long, long ago. And we see it again in this scripture, and we forget that it's actually key. Because aren't you glad that which really condemns you, that those things that you used to be, those sins, those distractions, that stuff is gone because of the power and presence of Jesus in your life. And so right here, even the way it's written, Jesus passes. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him. Now mind you, I'm pretty sure they probably what? Weren't by themselves. They probably had support and help. So two blind men followed him, crying out, "Have mercy on us." And then they call him something, "Son of David." Right there, it tells you like, hey, we know something about you. When he entered the house, the blind men came to him. Wait a minute, don't you love being ignored? Just say no, okay? You don't like when I ignore you, when your friend ignores you, come on now, right? Jesus didn't acknowledge them. Jesus cried out to him and he kept going. He went to the house. I don't know how far the house was from the road that they were on, but there was a journey. They pressed in. How many times, right, we cry out to Jesus, and because he doesn't immediately, like, bam, we're free from it, we just kind of, I'm going to retreat. They didn't retreat. You know what they did? They went in the house, somebody else's house. Wasn't even Jesus's house. You know, he didn't have no house. But yeah, he never went without a roof. He never went without food. He never went without provision. The people around him never went without provision. But he didn't have no mortgage. And so somehow they end up in a house. And you know what they did? They entered the house and the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" He heard them. They didn't have to repeat. Jesus got it. He hears you. They said to him, maybe. Are you reading? Just say no. They didn't say that. They did the old song like, "Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord," for, old Christians. Okay, anyway. They said, "Yes, Lord." Then you know what he did? He touched their eyes saying, "According to me, according to your faith, be it done to you." Whew. Jesus put it on them. And their eyes were open. Then Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about it." But they went away and spread his fame throughout all the district. God, today, I'm going to ask. God, send your spirit, because these moments, they're significant, and you have a desire. I have a desire. We have a desire for your move to come, for your spirit to speak, not only here, but in every home that is watching. And so right now, from here to wherever the reach is, I would ask that you would move, that you would bind the hands of Satan in the name of Jesus, and let us be a people that step into this holy week with eyes that are open. And so we're going to ask this in your power and in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. I've been asked if you all can sit. Hey, if you're home, you should have been standing. I'm just saying, right? Unless you're sick. What do you have faith in? I asked you last week, everybody has faith. I don't care who you are, or what you are, or what you believe. You have faith in something, whether it's yourself, whether it's whatever it is, science or history or people or my mom or my spouse. They're gonna be everything I need. Whatever it is, you have faith. Some of you have faith in your sin, that it's gonna provide for you. Some of you have faith in your distractions, that it's gonna provide for you. Some of you have faith in bold people that in your life, that they're just gonna bring you through. We all got faith. What do you have faith in? Is that thing that you have faith in going to provide for you? Is it going to sustain you? Is it going to bring about in your life what you expect it to bring about? I have found in my life that, hey, if it's not faith in Jesus or what's rooted in Jesus, I better get ready to get disappointed. You ever have FOMO? You know what that is, fear of missing out? Shoot, I got FOMO. When it comes to Nikes and stuff, I've gotten over it, I'm doing better, you know what I mean? But it's I used to watch the releases, and every time I go to her, she'd say no, you know what I mean? Why no? We don't have the money. I'm well, we can make it up, you know what I mean? But anyway, I do have a little bit of a fear of missing out, and you ever friends doing something, they don't invite you, that feels great, right? And then you're missing out, it doesn't feel great, just say no. Okay, you gotta roll with me today, we're gonna talk a lot. Here's the thing. Our society is saying, if you go the way of God, you're going to miss out. In fact, right now, our society is telling every single teenager in the United States that if you don't go this way, then you're going to miss out. You know what's funny? You know who missed out on this day? Those that didn't have enough faith. Because like when life really got down to it and they couldn't see, there wasn't any other movement in the world in that day, any other faith, any other idol that was healing the blind. So I wonder if they were letting society overwhelm them, if they would have missed out. Because I'm pretty sure if they didn't move with Jesus, they would have missed out. But we're so convinced that like, if we don't go with what feels right and good, it's outside of God, we're going to miss out. Maybe that's not what you have faith in. Maybe you're on the flip side. Maybe you are living in a state of faith. You're all in. You want everything. I want everything. We want everything that God has for us. And so we are like diving in, all in. And then we get to a roadblock, and that roadblock of being in a state of faith, which is different than like vacillating faith, but a state of faith is just, I'm going to live in faith that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. And you're in that state of faith, which is a beautiful place to be. But then you say to yourself, I want my faith to increase. I like where I'm at, but I know there's more. And you know what comes? Somebody. Something. A desire. A person. A barrier to the faith. Some of you, let's just be honest, you're living with barriers in your home. They're your barrier. And you've got your friends that are good, godly friends praying for that barrier to be released in them. For a pastor, I'm always thinking like, just bigger than what is. Because if I weren't, then I wouldn't really be living in faith. And you know what? People get mad about that. And I love accountability, and I love sometimes when it's like, nah, I don't think that's where we need to go. We pray about it, we fast about it, and that's like, you know what, that's right. You know what I hate? When I know that I know that I know. And I know that God is saying, this is it. This is where you need to. This is the next step. And everything around me says, you gotta stop. Then I can't live in the increase that God's calling me to. How many of you have ever been in a place where you're like living a state of faith, but everything around you says, you can't? And then when it really comes down to it, you can't. And maybe that's just me. Y'all know football? Okay, I figure. Anyway, there's this team. I don't know really a lot about them, but they're blue and white. And I don't know, they're kind of from maybe Indianapolis. I mean, I don't know who they might be. What's their name? Colts. Some of you woke up for that, right? You know, you were about to fall asleep, but the Colts come up. I don't know. They're a team in the NFL, and they're a part of the NFL, and they're kind of around here. Are y'all awake? I mean, come on now, right? Oh, gosh. I mean, I know they're not that good, but you can at least, you know, that'll help, right? At home, they shut off, and so anyway, they're going to put some replays of the Colts game on. But anyway, there's hope and faith built into football. Think about it. You got to have faith to be a part of a team. I mean, if a quarterback's going to throw to a receiver, you got to have faith that they're going to do what? Receive it, right? Catch it. I mean, if you got fumbly hands, should you be a running back? Probably not, right? If your hands sweat every time you get nervous like mine, I'm not going to like, you know what I mean? Don't hand it to me. In fact, don't ever give it to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to watch you get it. But there's something about football. There's trust. There's players' trust. There's teamwork. You're trusting each other's ability. You're having faith that like you're practicing, that you're taking care of yourself, that you're like, I want you to picture something. This doesn't happen often for Colts, you know, fans. But anyway, we're going to picture and act like it does, okay? I'm just kidding, y'all, lighten up. I love the Colts too. I always, Eagles, if they lose, then I'm like, all right, Colts, come on. So I'm with you. Partly Peyton Manning, so I just love him, always have. But anyway, I know he doesn't play with him now. But here's the deal. It's like the wild card game is coming. You got to win this game to make it. I mean, there's no chance. There's 30 seconds. You know what's crazy about football? The game goes by so quick, they don't worry a bit about time. The last 30 seconds come, and it's 45 minutes. You know what I'm saying? I got to be somewhere. They don't, I mean, I don't know, add a second here, add a second there, flag, or put 10 more. I mean, where are you getting that from? First part of the game wasn't there. Now all of a sudden, anyway, last part of the game, the Colts are like, we're going to make it to maybe the wild card if we win this game. And they got to throw 40 yards. And it's like that beautiful moment. They throw that pass. They catch it right on like the 2-yard line, and it just swooshes right into their hands, right? If it were mine, it would just bam. But anyway, their hands, right? They paid a lot of money. So they catch it and they just run in. And you know what happens? It's like a wave. It waves from there. All of a sudden, the teammates do what? They run around and they embrace them and they jump, and then they get flagged because, you know, they did too much. And then we're at home. We're doing what? We're on our seats just like, yay, like we're doing church. You know. But no, at home, right, we got our friends over and we go crazy. It's exciting. They're going to make it to the wild card game. It's this great moment where quarterback meets receiver, linemen take care of it, and it just happens. Then the kicker gets up. That good old kicker, right? 25 kicks in a row. This is it. 1 point, misses it. Well, you know, he don't got no job, right? You know that, right? After that, his job, you know, you'll just watch him be transferred somewhere. And anyway, no job. They lose it. Because you know what's crazy? It's because he wasn't ready for it. His nerves, his feet, his hands, his... So all that, right? And then, bam, it's gone. The hopes, the plans, the faith in your team is next season. Church, what I want to challenge you today with, and as we look at the scripture, is here's the problem. We're on a team. We're together. God wants all of us to be ready. He may not use us today, but he might use us in the next play. And so if we're not ready in this play, we most likely won't be ready in that play. And so, you know that feeling? I don't know if you've ever had this feeling, but that feeling of like when it lands, and it's like, gosh, it's so exciting. You know, you can have that feeling every single day. Church, come on. What we're celebrating next Sunday tells us today that we can have that feeling of like, my goodness, Jesus speaks and moves, and we are like right there because he told us to be right there, and we're ready and waiting, and it lands, and like we go through the line, and all of a sudden somebody comes to Christ because we were ready when Jesus said, here. How many Christians that will leave the churches today are ready to receive the plan and purpose of Jesus and sail through? Because you know what, church? If you're a believer, it ain't just about you. Your faith is about the neighbor sitting next to you, the neighbor across the street, the neighbor watching from home, the friend, the family member, because we're a team. And sometimes he's going to say it's your day, and then sometimes it's going to be your day the next day. But see, if we don't live in faith every day, we won't be ready to receive. In this conversation with these blind men, Jesus used this word pistos, which basically just means faithful. Don't you love when people say like, well, what's this mean? What's grace mean? Well, you know, grace. Okay, that's right. That's great, isn't it? Right? You know what I mean? If you're a teacher, you know, you say, what's English? Well, you know, English. Well, gosh, that ain't it. But here's what Jesus does. He just says it that way. Well, then you got to break it down, and it says actually, as in the faithful. Ooh. Okay, so Jesus was talking a little bit higher about these gentlemen. So all of a sudden, we recognize that these dudes aren't just regular dudes. You know what they are? The faithful. They weren't his disciples. They weren't. They came and followed him, and something happened between them, and he said, oh, you're part of the faithful. I mean, I don't have to convince you. I don't have to do potions. I don't have to translate it more. And it says, good and faithful servant. If you've been in the church a long time, you'll know the scripture tells us that our hope and prayer as believers is that one day when it's time for us to meet him, that he would say, come, good and faithful servant. Translate it into Hebrew and take it even further, emuna, which means steadfastness and trustworthiness in the faith. So all of a sudden now, Jesus is saying, whoa, like you guys are like steadfast. You didn't just like put your hands up and say, Jesus ignored me. You know, you pressed in, steadfast, trustworthy. You take it even further, the next root is aman, which is steady, and firm. These dudes, in these few moments, lived out a steady and firm faith. Are you living out a steady and firm faith? That when the presence of God, through the Spirit of God, moves from the quarterback, Jesus, to you, the person that's going to play it out here on earth, are you ready? The men were ready. Faith is a connection. Y'all ever been connected to somebody? Just say yes. And say yes again to wake up, all right? The first yes didn't work, this one did. Faith is a connection. Connection is like a word that we use a lot. Connection is like a coming together. A connection is like knowing. There are times where situations happen and my wife begins to speak. She hates this. And I say, honey, like, I already know what you're going to say. Can we just skip the conversation and I'll just do it? You know what I mean? Like, don't you love that? She hates when I do that. I'm like, listen, we're connected. We've been doing this for years. I already know what you're going to say. Let me get out of the van and get it done. Don't tell me. You know, don't you get tired of me telling you what you do all the time? Anyway, I'm like, I just know. I know I can see it. Why? Because the older we get, it's a beautiful thing, the more connected we are. There isn't like a struggle of like, I know her mind and her heart. And then when I occasionally don't, I get to know it better so that I can be further connected. Faith is a connection. When you're on a team, you're connected. But what's crazy here is when you translate it, Jesus said, if you believe. Y'all like if. When you ask somebody something, they say, you know, if like A, B, and C work out, I might help you there. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so depressing. Like, we always put an if with things. You know what Jesus does? Because many of you are like, Pastor, you've been talking about if for 5 years. You know why? You know how many times Jesus said if? A lot. Because he wasn't worried about his ability to work. He was saying, like, if you'll receive, if you'll be a part of, if you'll remain connected with, then obviously I'm going to do it. I came to do it. I came to be present. I came to let my power out. But if you'll receive it. Because here's the thing. Jesus isn't forceful. He's not going to push himself on you. He's not going to overstep. But if you let him, boy, will he come in. Boy, will he overstep. Boy, will he move. And not only will he move, he's going to give you what you asked for more. You say, what do you mean? When you translate it, you know what happened? Because they answered the if question well and didn't even hesitate, he not only gave them physical sight, when you translate it, he gave them more spiritual sight. They could see with eyes. They could see with a heart. You say, well, why did they didn't listen to Jesus? Well, here's the deal. The reason Jesus said that, and I don't think we understand this, but oftentimes the people on that day, they would get riled up. You ever get riled up? Just say yes, because you have, okay? Anyway, we all get riled up at some time, even the most peaceful people. People will get riled up. Why do they say the men, like in the feeding? Well, they say just the men because the men were getting riled up to take Jesus and take him to Jerusalem and overtake, meaning take up arms, and then Jesus would do what? He would retreat. He retreated because you needed the captain to go to the... This was one of those situations in this season. If you look at it chronologically, Jesus was like really popular. Everywhere he went, there were people following him, thousands. They were ready to like, let's go to Jerusalem now and take over. And it wasn't the time. They left in excitement about what they could see. They saw the kingdom. Jesus, through the way he spoke, tells us that they were connected in more than just a healing way. They were connected in the faithful, good and faithful servant. They were steady, steadfast. But see, church, if you want to experience the movement of God, you got to be able to answer the question, if you believe. It sounds so simple from the pulpit, right? Well, they did it. But man, when it's in the heat of the moment, of the decision, it's hard. Faith is belief in action. There's a theologian, he said this statement, I think it's perfect. You won't understand it till I explain it, but hey, just go with me. The living confidence and trust in God, which results from and is therefore in part also identical with the experience of his active presence. Basically, what he's saying is like these dudes experienced what they did because there was an active presence at work. The theologian goes on and says, faith is that relation to God in which final dependence rests upon the reality to which one is related. Y'all related to anybody? Just say amen. Okay. What the theologian is saying and what this passage is saying is that the movement of God depends on the relation between you and God. So how related are you? Are you distant relatives or are you right there together? Ashley and I in life, we are right there together. Are God and you right there together? Or are you considering him a distant relative that you access on occasion and hope for mighty things to happen? That isn't what happened here. If you're hoping for that, you're probably going to be hoping in the wrong thing. Think about this statement. We're going to transition a little bit into kind of today, Palm Sunday. Sometimes what will increase our faith is right in front of us, yet we are blinded to it. Think about that. Sometimes what will increase our faith is right in front of us, yet we are blinded to it. Now, let me give you a picture, just a small picture of what was happening in this day. We love to, like, I don't know, I grew up, and maybe you didn't, but we sang, like, Hosanna in the Highest, which is so beautiful, and we should sing that from our heart. But the problem is the people of that day, they sang it from their heart. I mean, imagine, they've been waiting for Jesus to get to the temple to, like, take over the Old Testament system. Get rid of the sacrifices. Get rid of all this. Here he is. He's going to correct it all. But what's crazy is that the Jesus that was in front of them was not the Jesus that they were hoping for. You ever have a situation where, like, the answer's right there, but you're so wrapped up in sin, you're so wrapped up in distractions, you're so wrapped up in failures, you're so wrapped up in stuff that you can't see Jesus waving his arms on the other side? Hey, I'm here. If you'll just cut out the sin, I'm gonna come in. If you'll cut out the addiction, I'm gonna come in. If you'll cut out the dependency, I'm gonna. For them that day, they had a misunderstanding of their religion. They had hoped and hoped for this Savior to come, but in a way not of peace. They were blinded. They were blinded to the movement. Here's what actually happened when you look at the scripture in Luke 19, 41 through 44. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over. This is Jesus. So here he is finally at Jerusalem, finally getting to the end of his ministry, where people had wanted him to go all along to kind of take over, right? And there he was, a celebrity. Thousands of people, imagine it, right? Throwing their cloaks down and fanning these things and just celebrating that the Jesus that they had hoped for was here, yet what they had hoped for wasn't what was coming. And the scripture says that he drew near to the city and he wept. Jesus, Palm Sunday, Jesus wept over it, saying, would that even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. Meaning, look, everybody, I'm peace. I'm not an army like you're hoping. I'm bringing peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. I mean, imagine Jesus saying this about all these people that had missed it. For the days will come upon you when your enemies, this is talking about the future destruction of the temple. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you. And here's the kicker. And church, this is what's going to happen today in every single church all across the world. Jesus will come. He will move. He will ask. He will say, I'm here. He will say, I want you to receive me. I want you to go with me. I want you to go out. Jesus wept because he saw a people that didn't see him for who he really was. He saw a people that saw a violent movement, and he was saying, I'm a movement of peace. And so as he looked at all the people that threw down their cloaks and celebrated him, this is what he said. And probably, as long as I'm your pastor, I think every Palm Sunday we should remember this. Because this is what he said. Because you did not know the time of your visitation. Because you did not know the time of your visitation. So what he was saying was, I walked right by you and you didn't know that I was there. because you were too focused on what you wanted me to be. How many times do you miss the movement of God? How many times does Jesus, our quarterback, throw that spirit out to you, and it's a moment and a movement, it's like gifted just for you, and you say, I'm not ready for that. I can't do that now. I can't speak that now. I can't be that now. I can't let go of that now. My sin's too great. He's not great. I want this. I don't want that. And Jesus walked by and he wept. In fact, we don't like to lump this together, but as well on Palm Sunday, he went to the temple where everybody hoped he'd go. And do you know what he found? He found a people selling items for themselves. One of the greatest misconceptions in the church is, well, why do churches sell coffee? Well, it's missional coffee. Why do we sell books? Well, because it's for your spiritual journey, for your children's spiritual journey. It all works towards the mission. You know what that was today? I don't know how we get it confused. It actually translates as you were selling that stuff for you. We're selling that so we can give to Faith Promise and World Missions. We're selling that so that maybe you'll go home this week and actually teach your kids something or open the Bible yourself. And Jesus went to the temple and said, what is this? It's all about you. The temple is a place to do what? Worship God. Yeah, unfortunately, church, I was in all those cantatas where we waved the palms and sang Hosanna in the highest, and we forgot what actually happened. He walked through, saw people that missed him. Is your faith journey full of missed moments? See, faith doesn't miss the time of the visitation. Faith doesn't miss the time of the visitation because faith stands longing to encounter and meet the presence of Jesus. Want to go back to football? Just say yes. Like, I'm done with all this mess, right? Just let's go back to football. That's a good idea. I'm going to go back to it too. You know the Eagles? They're incredible. Yes. Come on now, my Eastern friends there. Yes. They're incredible. We'll get back to the Colts. I'll make the ending like all about the Colts. But for a minute here, this past year, if you don't know much about what's great, well, I'll just go from there. But anyway, Eagles had a great start to their season, about 10 wins, and I got a text from someone, and they said, listen, there's some drama going on. I'm like, wait a minute, hold up, what do you mean? And like, because, you know, in Philly, they actually report that news. I don't know why they don't hear, but for some reason they don't, but they report about the Colts. I don't know why, but, you know. So she sends me this message, and she says, like, something's going on in the locker room. Hurts has gotten mad at three of them, and the reason he got mad was because they started celebrating too much, because, you know, 10 wins isn't enough to, like, take you all the way. Did you know that? You can't. It's just not going to work, right? And so they started celebrating. There was an argument, and no exaggeration. Guess what happened the next Sunday? They lost. Then the Sunday after that, lost. 3, 4, 5, lost. Then they got all excited because they got a win, right? Or it was 4 or 5, something like that. Got a win, and that was just so exciting. But here's the deal. Something happened on the team. There was a disagreement. There was a good quarterback that said, hey, guys, we haven't won the season. Why are we acting like this? Why are we doing this on Monday night then coming here not ready on Tuesday? Why? Why are you celebrating so early? You're not ready. You're not equipped. You can't tell us what to do. We don't have to listen to you. You're not our dad. You're not our... We do the same thing with Jesus. Come on, church. I love my sin. It's fulfilling. It's gonna, you know what it's gonna do? It's gonna distract you so that when the moment of visitation comes, you're gonna miss it. So, season went on. Obviously, it didn't work out. But you know what's crazy? Every team member and every movement counts. I want to tell you something fun. We'll go back to the Colts, okay, because they're a great team. And anyway, let's just imagine that scene again, right? It's so cool. End of the game. You got to get that touchdown. They get it. We're all at home watching, right, skipping church because, you know, we don't want to be home late for the game and all that mess, right? And so we're there right from the beginning to the end, and you got that landing touchdown, and then they actually, the field goal kicker, he does it, right? And so we're all good. You win the game. You go on. And guess what happens? If you want to keep going, what do you got to do? You got to keep getting ready for what? yeah, it's coming back, right? You can't celebrate too much. Now, home, we can celebrate all week, right? And then we get pumped up for next Sunday, but what did they do starting Monday? What do we do starting Monday at church? We start doing what? Getting ready for Tuesday to open up to community. Then we start getting ready for Wednesday, and then for Sunday, and for, it's like a never-ending. So if you stay in that celebration, in that movement of faith, in that movement of connection, quarterback connected with wide receiver, it happened, they won, it's not going to last that long. I wish I could say that it would. It becomes an Ebenezer stone that you place to remind you when you're ready to give up. And you say, I don't have to give up because my God's still working. See, teams have to stay up on what? They're part of the team. You all are a team. You have a place. You have a purpose. God has a plan. If you're not living it out, then God has more. When we miss the visitation, we miss out. Have you ever thought about your lack of readiness affecting someone else? I have. I think about it all the time. Because I know that when I fail, it isn't just about me. So you go back to the ball, right? End of the game, wild card game's next. And it does what it would do if they threw it to me 40 yards. I'd be scared, sweating. Like, please don't throw it to me. I'm looking at you, but I don't mean to look at you, but I'm supposed to because the camera's on me. Just don't look, okay? And my hands are sweating, so it's just going to slip right through. It slips right through, lands on the ground, and it just... What's crazy is, you know the feeling of that? It affects the room, and then it affects every home that's watching, and then it affects how the team's going to play out next year. It affects how the owner feels. It affects how the church, when I miss it, it affects me, my wife, my kids, my church, the people I love, the people I want more for, the people that I believe God is saying there's more. And you know what? I don't care what your home makeup is like. When you miss the movement of God, it affects more than just you. And if you can come out of yourself, you can see that it affects more than just you. I don't care who's living under your roof. So, Palm Sunday was a big old miss. Jesus would not do what we've done over the years. If he were with me today, standing here, I'd be sitting, obviously, and he'd be speaking and saying, Palm Sunday was a disappointment. I looked and I wept. When do you weep? And I don't mean like cry. When do you weep? When something's like really off. You ever like do that belly bawling crying and it's like, it's genuine, it's real, and you can't control it? That's how it translates. He looked and said, they missed it. I came and they missed it. I moved and they missed it. And church, that's what faith is. Faith is being prepared not to miss what we don't know about, but we better be ready for. And you know what's exciting? When you take it back to the beginning, those dudes didn't miss a thing. Why? Because they were ready. Why? Because they didn't just say, because Jesus didn't acknowledge them, well, then I better just go a different way. They went into the house that they didn't own and said, here we are. We don't want to miss it. And then he opened up everything. He opened up the spiritual world, the physical world, and said, here it is. And he actually said, don't go tell everybody right now. I can't get to the temple yet. But he actually didn't say like, he was actually saying there's going to be a time. There's going to be a time for you to like run the streets and say, it is finished. So church, are you ready to receive when the quarterback of your life says, I'm throwing to you? Are you ready to say, I'm ready? Because see, here's the thing. He's not always going to throw to you. Don't you love it in church, right? When you forget to recognize someone and they get on you the next day. Oh, that doesn't happen to you. That just happens to me. Okay, anyway, they get on you the next day because you remember this person, but not this person. That's like the nightmare of a pastor, right? Gosh, I forgot to say thank you to that person, but I didn't mean it. You know what's great, though? If I forgot, guess who will remember? Jesus. Because it's not about me recognizing you. Because if you know your scriptures well, every time you receive that movement of faith that God's calling you to, and the center of your life, the quarterback of your life, the Jesus of your life throws it to you and you catch it and he and you know about it, something, and I don't really know what, something happens in heaven on your behalf. And then it happens again, and then something in heaven on, and so I don't know, you all got a different place in heaven, different gifts, different treasures, all based on how you receive from Jesus. And so how are you receiving? Are you ready? Are you okay when it's not you and it's the running back? You just get yourself ready again. This time it's going to be me. Because eventually it's going to be you. You're going to need to rise up for the sake of yourself, for the sake of your spiritual well-being, for the sake of your spouse, your mom, your dad, your kid, your student, your aunt, your uncle, your neighbor, your community member, your church. It's going to come to you. Are you ready? And I guess the question of this week for Holy Week is, if you aren't ready, if your head's not in the game, if there's a quarrel between you and Jesus, if there's a sin that's distracting you, if there's a situation that's clouding you so that you can't see it, then I believe this is the week to say, God, I need you. I need you to prepare me to receive. Because I think one of the saddest moments, and there's a lot of sad moments in Scripture, but one of the saddest moments is when the physical Jesus walked through Jerusalem church with the people that waited for thousands of years, going up and down, up and down. Finally, the answer to all their prayers, all their suffering, all their slavery, walked by them. Jesus said, they didn't see me. And the greatest atrocity in the world of believers right now is that I believe that Jesus is visiting and visiting and visiting. And a lot of the time, he's finding nothing. Don't you love this? Y'all get mail. We still get mail, right? Okay, yeah, sometimes you got to get mail, right? Don't you love when they send you this slip while you're at work that says, I was here visiting and I didn't get, you know what I'm saying? Oh, gosh, I hate that. Well, we got one recently. And I said, oh, good, the day that they're going to come back, they give you the date they're going to come back, I'm going to be home. Unfortunately, I have two big dogs that have teeth that every person comes to the fence, they growl and stuff. And so everybody that comes to the fence, no lie, you throw the package over. We actually have pictures of our dogs like grabbing the package that they take from Amazon, click, and why would you throw it over when you know they're going to like, you know, and so I have a picture of two dogs on both sides of the package being thrown and they're grabbing it. And then I came home and it was teared in half and teared all over the yard. And so I love when they do that. But we send them a message now, leave it on the other side of the fence, right? But the mailman, they're so great. Male women, ours doesn't like us. But anyway, they keep leaving me these slips. And so I said, great, Thursday, that's my day off. I'm going to be home, and I'm going to chase him to get this because I don't want to have to do what? Miss it. So then I have to go down to the, you know what I mean, and show them the paper, and they can't find it. Every time I go, it's like, I don't know where. Okay, well, anyway, you're from Margaville. And, okay. And so I was all ready for it. I'm going to be home Thursday, and that dude, I mean, I love him. I'd love for him to come to church. But anyway, that dude went so fast. It was as if the mailbox lid opened as he drove by, like prepared, you know what I mean? It went wham, and it was, I was like, no, and my dogs are barking and snarling like he's going to stop. You know what I'm saying? I'm avoiding that house, but I was home. He didn't even try. You know what happened? I missed it. So you know where I got to go tomorrow? I got to go to the post office, right? And so I don't want to go there, but I missed it, right? You ever miss an event? You were like really wanting to go, and you got sick. Don't you love getting sick? Amen, right? Anyway, and you miss it. What's that feeling inside of you, right? Like, you know, honestly, like, this is a really important piece of paper. And so, like, all weekend, I've been trying to put it in my mind that, like, they're going to send it back because it said on there, like, you got to be there Monday or we're sending it back. And, you know, send stuff back there. It ain't going to forget to you, right? Miss an event, waiting for a year. It comes. You're sick. You can't go. Gosh, that feeling, right? It's great. No, it's not. You having a date with a friend, haven't seen him in years, they can't come, they cancel on you. You're saying, yeah, that's you, Pastor. I know, I cancel on you a lot because I overbook. But anyway, it's not a good feeling. It's not a good feeling. You know, sometimes we don't even know that we're missing out. We don't get the slip, it gets wet, it blows away. Then you get like a delinquency notice and it's like, I didn't know. Church, we are missing moments. We are missing moments. Some of them we know, some of them we don't know. When we're so distracted, we don't even know. We can't even see what God is doing. Church, see him this week. Let the distractions go. Give it up. Try it. Try all in. Try saying, I'm ready to receive. Try thinking more than just yourself. Because when you receive, others receive, and it's like a wave. When a receiver catches a 40-yard pass, I can't say what they call it, but you know, blank Mary. But anyway, you know, when they do that and they catch it, everybody screams at home in the stadium because it means a ton. But I promise you in our faith, when you receive the pass that Jesus sent to you for you that moment for that day, and you receive it, and you and everybody go across the line, and somebody makes the next step in their faith, ain't nothing like that. There ain't any game that should be celebrated more than that. And this week is a chance for you to say, I'm ready to receive. God, thank you for this day. Be with us today. God, I pray that what happened on this day so many years ago, where thousands of people missed it, that we would not be lumped into those thousands. That we would make the decision this week, whether here or at home, to say, yes, Lord. Those two blind men said two simple words, yes, Lord. Let us say yes. Because I believe right now you are speaking and saying, you know what? Joe, this is why you're missing this. Here's where I need you to remove this. This is the distraction. This is what's fulfilling you. And yet I'm right here, ready to visit, ready to sit with, ready to fulfill, ready to move, ready to... So God, I pray that you would send your spirit to your people in here so that we won't miss it. We love you. We praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Think about it this week, church. We're so glad that you're here. Invite somebody. Fill the room next week. We also would love for you to join us Friday night.